All right, so, you know, we've spent the last 4 weeks talking about remembering who we are in Christ, remembering our identity. This would be the fifth service, I believe, that we're actually meeting here together. I think this is the part five. So anyway, it's just been a real awesome time, and I believe that God has led us to this teaching that we've been going through the COVID time that we were shut in, and now through this time as we're coming out, is because He wants us to remember who we are with all the shaking going on. You know, there's some shaking going on, guys. God knew about it. It didn't take Him by surprise. And He wants us to remember our identity. Remember who's inside of us. You know, we can, He may be allowing some of that shaking going on, you know, for people to reevaluate where they are. Reevaluate who they are. And so there may be some shaking going on, but He says that we can have peace through it. Peace through the storm. Peace through the shaking. Yes, we can. We can have peace. Why? Because He lives inside of each and every one of us. If you're born again, He lives inside of you. And it doesn't matter what's going on. You can have peace through it because you know He's inside of you. Wrap our brains around that, God. Help us with that. We need to remember that what Jesus has already accomplished for us on the cross. You know, I've been utilizing our spirit board throughout this teaching just to remind us, you know, who we are, what we have on the inside of us, because you know what? We got to be reminded every so often. Jesus said, remember. He said, remember. When you do this in remembrance of me. Remember what I've done for you. We're remembering, you know, what he's done for us. You know, not all of the benefits that we get in Christ are on this board. You know, but we've got some papers on the back sheet that you could take along home with you, and you can study them out yourself, and you can add to them. There's a whole bunch more. You can fill up the back page. There's a whole bunch more. There's no board big enough to list all the benefits of being in Christ and Him in us. We are blessed. We are blessed. And so, but the board that we bring out does kind of help give us a quick look at some of those things that we have. But more importantly, you know, our mirror, our spiritual mirror, is found right here in the Word. We look into this and we see who we are. That's where we got that board from. It's kind of like a reflection, a mirror that we can look in. But you know, you can't see these things in your bathroom mirror. They're in the spiritual realm on the inside of us. And so we ended last week, Ralph, with a very powerful scripture. And it's Philemon 1:6. Philemon 1:6. It says in Philemon that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you. So our faith, in other words, our faith works, it becomes effective when we acknowledge everything we have on the inside of us. In order to acknowledge what we have, we gotta know what's in the Word. That's our spiritual mirror. That's what tells us what we have on the inside. The Bible tells us who we are in Christ. And so when we know what we have, we can have faith to see that thing released into this physical realm. We can receive it into the physical realm where it can manifest and affect our lives right here on this earth. I'm not talking about things in the sweet by and by. You know, we need God's power here on this earth. We need his healing here on this earth, not when we get to heaven. You know, we need to have a sound mind here You know, we've got some shaking going on. We've got things attacking us. We need to have his sound mind right here on this earth. And so in our Wednesday night Bible study, for those of you who were tuned in with the Caris Healing University that we're teaching from, there was an awesome testimony of healing in there. And it was at the end of that video that healing actually took place in Ireland. It took place in Ireland. Ralph, could you bring up the picture of the family that we learned about? That's the family right there that you can see on your screen. That was the that's the Mullins family, and they were faced with a crisis. And they have a little boy. That's the little boy sitting on daddy's shoulders. His name is Andrew. That's little Andrew. And he was diagnosed with neuroblastoma. He had cancer in every bone of his body. Every bone. The doctors didn't give the Mullins much hope. But thank God, their hearts were hungry to seek God about, God, what do you say about this? Their world was shaking right then. But they were seeking God. And God supernaturally got I think it was a teaching. I don't know if I remember if it was a CD. I think it was a CD. The CD teaching was God Wants You Well. They got it to this family. The family listened to it. And this is what the mother, her name is Aster, she's the gal holding the little baby, Aster, she said when she heard what Andrew was teaching on those CDs, she said it was like water to a parched soul. Have you guys ever been in a desert? Sometimes, I mean, lately it's kind of been feeling like a desert around here. You know, it's been a little warm. But if you're in a desert and there's no water, water is valuable. Those teachings, those words of life that Andrew was sharing on his CDs were like water to a parched mama's soul. And so the father said that they had been in survival mode. Have you ever been there? Some of you may be there right now. If you're in survival mode, I got some encouraging news for you. God cares and he knows and he already knows how you can walk out of that thing. He's the water for your parched soul. You know, this father said that they were just barely getting along. But they received the word of God as Andrew Womack shared it with them. And they said they never heard teaching like that. They never heard it. And so, but those words inspired them to continue to believe God for a miracle. And when they found out what Jesus totally did on that cross, that include healing. Healing is part of the atonement. It belongs to us. It's part of our identity. They didn't know that. But until they could find out, they were kind of just at the doctors, whatever the doctors could do for them. You know, they could only function by the natural. But they found out that healing was part of the atonement and was available to everyone. And that mother said, that's our answer. That's our answer. The word of God is our answer. What Jesus did on that cross is the answer for our little boy. And so, you know, up to that point, they weren't sure whether it was God's will or not for little Andrew to be healed. They didn't know, but they said that they had faith, but they also had unbelief because they didn't know God's will. But after listening to, you know, the God Wants You Well teaching series by Andrew Womack, they got the revelation. They got the knowledge that Jesus hung on the cross and took it all. It belongs to us. And so once they found out that healing was God's will every time because Jesus bought and paid for it with his own blood, that settled it. That settled the shaking for them. They had peace. Now they knew how to go forward. They're no longer were going to be tossed to and fro, back and forth. you know, by all those negative doctors' reports. Not saying that those doctors' reports weren't fact, but truth trumps the fact. And so they knew that it was God's will for their little boy to be healed, but they had to learn how to release and receive that healing that they have in their spiritual bank account. They had to learn how to release that, how to make a withdrawal on that. They knew that healing was part of their identity. It's part of each of our identity too. It doesn't matter what you're dealing with. They said that they spent day and night listening to the free teachings on Andrew Womack's website. You know, if you're stuck, if you're in a crisis situation, I'd recommend you do the same thing. Spend day and night in the Word. Get the Word coming in. We got to be careful what we hear. We need to hear the Word. And this is what Astor said. This is the mama. She said, the stability or the foundation for their faith is the Word of God. It's the Word. Word of God. That's where we get our stability too when things are shaking. It's from the Word. And so, we could have stability in at peace in the midst of shaking, in the midst of a coronavirus. We can have peace. We can have stability in the midst of racial unrest and demonic forces attacking our country. We can be at peace in the midst of the most critical election year of all of our history. That's this year. There are two sides, and there's a great vacuum in between. Where do you side? Where do those sides stand on what God says? Not what on your emotions say, not on what your neighbor says. What does God say? That's how we vote. As Christians, that's how we vote. And so the Mullers learned how to resist the devil with the Word of God. They found out that the Word of God was their sword. You know, we are in a battle, but we don't fight with hands. We don't fight. We don't do what we see going on out on the West Coast and in some of these big cities. We don't fight like that. We fight with the sword. Our weapons are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. We got to use our sword. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what?
The word of God,
which is our sword. That's our sword. The Mullins learned how to speak their faith, and they learned how to speak the Word of God over little baby Andrew, and to see a miracle happen right before their eyes. I hope y'all were tuned in on Wednesday night. Pastor Ralph even played it again on Saturday morning, but that testimony is powerful, and you can see it on Andrew's website, free. You can get on his website. That was a miracle. You cannot convince the Mullins family that miracles are not for today. It's too late. They already know the truth. They already know it. Their situation went from hopeless to hopeful. It went from despair and defeat to victory. And so, you know, why? How could that happen? How could that happen? Because they got a revelation of their identity in Christ. They got a revelation of what belonged to them. And so, you know, they discovered what Jesus has already bought and paid for them and deposited in their spiritual bank account. Yeah. And they learned how to make a withdrawal on what they had in there. They had to speak that word. They had to believe, and they had to speak the word. They had to bring their mouths, their emotions, their mind, their will, all into alignment with what God says in his word. That's how it's done. I'm not saying that that's easy, but that's how God does it. That's how miracles manifest. It does take our cooperation. the Mullins cooperated fully, and they got their miracle. Just like Jesus said. Ralph, could you go to Mark 11:22? And I want to look at 22 to 24. We're going to get into the scriptures here. It says, Mark 11:22 says, have faith in God. That's where it starts, guys. That's where miracles start. We have to have faith in God. We got to believe. We got to believe he exists and believe what he did on that cross. We got to believe what the word says. You know, it all starts with trusting God. Above what the symptoms are saying, above what the news broadcasts are saying, above what the world is saying, we got to believe his word above all of that. Verse 23 then says, for assuredly, I say to you, this is Jesus talking, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and doesn't doubt in his, what?
Heart.
In his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Whatever he says. And Pastor Ralph, could you go to verse 24? Therefore I tell you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe. So we're asking, we're believing, we're connecting the mouth and the heart together here. Jesus is connecting them here. That you, when you believe that you receive them, you will have them. Mike and Astor Mullins learned that their words were powerful. Their words are powerful. And so they learned if they wanted the God kind of results, then they have to speak the God kind of words. And they got to do it the way God tells us to do it. Speak it out of our mouth and believe it in our heart. That's the recipe. Very simple. But sometimes we need to hear it and hear it. It says faith comes by hearing and hearing, not just having heard it one time. We got to hear it in the midst of the shaking. We need to hear it when the enemy has all of his arrows drawn at us and coming at us. We need to know who we are. So they said they did have faith in God, but they learned that they also had unbelief. You know, the symptoms, the negative reports from the doctors, the political, the social unrest, all that can shake your world, and it can make you, you know, doubt. It can make us shrink back a little, right? If that's where your focus, if that's what's going on, you got to change your focus. Where do you change it to? Right here, to the Word. So symptoms, those negative reports from the doctor, they may be facts, but God's Word can trump the facts. Just like it did for that Mullins family. Ralph, do we have Proverbs 4:20? God says that, you know, we're not to look at the things in the world. We're not to look at that negative doctor's report. What are we to look at? What does he say that we're to look at instead? Proverbs 4:20. He says, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Why? Because my word is the truth. My word is the truth. Don't look at those symptoms. They're lies. Don't look at the negative reports. My word is truth. And my truth can change those things. And so I want to look at this word attend in there. I know we looked at it previously in this series that we're looking at. That word attend is the Hebrew word kashab. It means to incline. It means to prick up your ears, right? It means to heed, okay? Now I want to look at another word that we didn't look at so far, Proverbs 4:20, and that's that word incline. It says, incline your ears to my sayings. That Hebrew word is the word natah. Natah means to stretch, to bend, to turn. It means to incline. It means to extend. You know, it says, you know, turn your ears away from the negative report and turn them to my report. Turn your eyes away from the negative report and turn them to my word. Pastor Ralph, 4:21, Proverbs 4:21, it says, do not, it says, let them not depart from your eyes. In other words, don't look to the left, don't look to the right. Look only at what my word says. That's God telling us what to do when you're shaken, when you're dealing with a very negative doctor's report. He says, keep them in the midst of your heart. He's saying, keep God's word in your heart. Believe his word. You know, that'll be your anchor. His word will be your anchor in the midst of that storm. You can trust God to bring you through to the other side of that storm. I don't know how long the storm will take, but we can trust God. He'll get us there. God's word is something to hold on to. It's something that's solid when we're being shaken. His word is solid. It doesn't change. It doesn't change. The whole rest of the world could be shaken, but God's word will keep us solid. The mother in that testimony from Wednesday night asked her, you know, she said that when she heard the truth that Andrew was teaching, he was teaching God's word. And she said that was water to her parched soul. It's God's word is water to our parched soul also. The word of life, that word became life to her and to her husband and to her little boy, the word of God. It gave her something to hope for. It gave her something to believe. It gave her something to solidify, you know, to give her some stability. That word refreshed her. It was like water, getting water in a very dry desert. And so, you know, we can understand why that is so when we go to the very next verse. Proverbs 4:22. It says, for they, God's word, are life to those who find them. You know, God says his word is life and health to all their flesh. What did God's word become to that little baby Andrew? It became life to all of his flesh. Are the bones part of the flesh? Absolutely. The cancer was in all of his bones. And God's word became life to every bone in his body. You know, in the natural, that little baby had a death sentence. That was a death sentence. But his mama and daddy, Mike and Astor, they had a choice. We have a choice, you know. We can make a choice. We have choices to make, life or death. We have life or death choices. They learned that they didn't have to accept the death choice. They could tap into the word of God. They didn't have to, you know, accept that doctor's report as final. They could tap into God's report. They could believe the report of the Lord and they could see that Jesus' stripes surely did heal little Andrew. They received a fresh revelation of who they were in Christ. And so, you know, they found out that they had authority. They had authority. Luke 10:19 tells us that we have authority too. We have authority to speak God's word out of our mouth. We have authority to release the anointing, the power that's on the inside of us. We have that authority to do that. And we can see those facts change, just like the Mullins did. They saw that. They found out they had a choice. This is what she said. When they found out that the cancer was in all the bones of that little boy, they looked up all the scriptures that were dealing with bones. They looked up all the scriptures, and they began to speak to Andrew's bones. They spoke the word of God over Andrew's bones. And this is what Astor said she spoke to his bones. She said, bones, if you watch this, what is that, bones? We've got good news for you. She said, by the stripes of Jesus, you're healed. She spoke that over her baby's body, over the bones. You know, like, you know, to the average person, that would, you know, they'd want to lock her up because she's, you know, acting a little crazy. But not to a Christian who knows their identity in Christ. They were just doing what God told them to do. Speak the words over yourselves. Speak words of life. That word was life and health to all of little Andrew's flesh. That included the bones. So if we want the God kind of results, you know, all these testimonies are not in the Bible just there for, you know, that just happened by chance to be there. They're there for us to learn from. That we can walk in the same thing. It's a matter of what we speak. We can speak to the mountain and we can tell it to move. And the mountain is anything that gets in your way of the abundant life that Jesus came here to give us. It could be a sickness. It could be a lack. It could be a demonic spirit. It could be fear. We see a lot of that today. Any of those things, we need to speak to them. We have a responsibility. We have to tell it to go. You must resist the devil. And that devil will leave you. That's James 4:7. Sickness is from the pit of hell. We need to resist it just as much as we would resist sin. You don't want to sin. You want to resist sin just as much as that. We got to resist sickness as well. And so we need to submit to God. We need to submit to God's way of doing it. We can't tell God how to do it. We need to submit to him. We resist the devil and he will flee from us. Resist sickness because God says sickness doesn't belong to us. We're to resist anything that is not of him. And it will flee from you. The way to walk in your God-given authority is to speak. Not just think about it. You know, thinking the right thoughts is important. We do have to have right thoughts. Our thinking is very important. But the power to release what we have on the inside of us is released when we speak God's word. I believe most Christians don't have a revelation of the power of their words. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Ralph, could you go on to Proverbs 18? Oh, you're already there. Okay. So death and life, the Bible says death and life are in the power of the what? Do you know death and life are in the power of your tongue? Absolutely, it is. It is. And what does James say about our tongues? He says our tongues are like tiny rudders of a ship that steer the ship, or like the bits that we put into horses' mouths. James 3, 3-5, I want to look at. I'm reading this out of the Good News Bible. It says, we put a bit into the mouth of a horse to make it obey us. You know, horses are big. They weigh a whole lot more than we do. But we can put a bit in their mouth, and we're able to make that horse go wherever we want. Or verse 4, it says, or think of a ship as big as it is. We've been on some cruise ships. They're big. They're big. And they can be driven by such strong winds, but it can be steered. That ship can be steered by a little rudder. A little rudder. And it goes wherever the pilot wants it to go. And verse 5, it says, so it is with the tongue. Small it is, it can boast about great things. You know, just how large a forest can be set on fire by a tiny flame. You can speak negative words. You can speak and agree with the negative report from the doctor. Or you can talk in alignment with what God says about that report. You know, you can see the ship turn. You can see the horse turn. The horse can obey you. You can see cancer-ridden bones totally healed. I didn't say that. God did. God said that. He says that in his word. His words are life and health to all our flesh, and that includes our bones. The Mullins family chose to obey God to use their mouth to drive out that cancer. And it left his body. I want to keep on reading in Proverbs 4. Ralph, could you go to verse 23? It says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." We're to keep our heart. We're to protect our heart. We're to value our heart and keep things out that are contrary to God's word. We're to keep our heart. God's word says we're attend only. We're to attend only to his word. We're not to believe the negative doctor's report. We're not to believe the negative news that we hear about on the stations each night. Because all those things are subject to change. They're subject to change. I do believe we need to know what's going on in the world. I don't believe we should be ostriches, you know, with their head in the sand. But our focus cannot be on what's going on in the world. Our focus needs to be on the Word of God. Ralph, could you go on to the next scripture? Verse 24 says, "To put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you." Perverse lips. Ralph, can you show us that word? Oh, yeah. Ikashuth. Ikashuth. Yeah. Ikashuth. That's the Hebrew. That's the Hebrew word for that word deceitful. Ikashuth. And that means perversity. Froward. It means deceitful. You know, Webster's dictionary says that something that is, you know, when it's perverse, it's turning away from what is right and what is good. That's perverse. It says that something that is perverted, it is falsified. It is misrepresented. Something that is perverse is twisted. Something that is perverse is warped. Something that is perverted is distorted. You know, when I was looking at that Webster's dictionary, it said profanity is listed as perversity. Did you know profanity is warped? You know, God says, put that stuff far away from your lips. Don't let that come out of your lips. Don't speak those things. Don't speak like that, he says. He said, that's what God says, but the world has accepted profanity as common everyday language. God says, don't let those words cross your lips. You control what comes across your lips. We control it. You know, God's standard is so much higher than ours. It's so much higher. I have a confession to make. This past week, I had to take my little grandson, our little grandson. He's 7 years old, and I had to take him to his swimming lessons. I found a pool that's actually open. He had swimming lessons all last year, and you know, he kind of forgot a little bit over the year. So I had to find some place I could, you know, give him some lessons. So that all that we learned wasn't forgotten. That's a little bit why I'm calling this whole message, you know, remembering our identity, because we tend to forget. Anyway, so I was taking him to his swim lessons. Excuse me, when I talk, my voice gets dry. Excuse me. I'm just going to help it a little bit. So I was taking my grandson to his swim lessons, and we were on this road that I take. And he, you know, he's 7 years old. He can read, you know, and so it's the road that I usually take. And on my way there, I had to go underneath an overpass, and it was all new and beautifully painted white and just lovely. A lot of road construction going on, you know. And I go driving past this underpass. Yeah, and I'm. And so I'm driving, and I see this what used to be a beautiful clear white wall under this underpass, but there were huge black letters on there, and it was profanity. You know, my little grandson, he's 7 years old. He can read. He could read those words. And so the whole time we're at his swimming lesson, this was just upsetting me. It was bothering me. And I thought, well, I don't have to take that road. But then I thought, what about all the other moms or grandmoms that are driving past there with their little, you know, children and grandchildren? And I thought, wow, I got to do something. God's doing something in my heart. I'm not afraid of anything. I believe that's what God is, you know, raising his church up right now during this shaking, to not be fearful. You know, if we can go out to grocery stores and we can go out to restaurants, we can come to church. You don't have to be afraid. You can come to church. Anyway, so I take my grandson home a different way. And I thought, okay, God, somebody spray paint. You know, we've been seeing a lot of spray paints and a lot of all kinds of stuff going up. I thought, okay, I'm going to go to the store and get a white, what do you call it? Like a primer. And I'm going to take it and I'm going to drop him off, go get the primer, go back there, and I'm going to prime over those letters so you can't see them as good, okay? And so, you know, I'm not big on graffiti. I don't like graffiti at all. I have no problem if you want to graffiti something, you know, graffiti it on your house, on something that you own, okay? So I did all that. And it didn't, I've got two cans of the stuff, but it didn't cover all of the profanity that was on there. So I said, okay, you know what, I'm going to go get swatches. You know how you go to the swatches, you go to Home Depot, you get the swatches, you bring them back. Okay, what color of white is that? You know, you can't just, I mean, this is white to me. You got to get the right shade of white. You know, so I go to Home Depot and I take all these swatches back and I'm matching them up. Okay, what color is going to be the best blend? You know, and I get the roller and I get the paint and I go and I rolled the wall. Wow. Rolled the wall. Beautiful. It's beautiful. It's white again. Now, I don't know. I have a real problem with profanity, guys. I'm so sorry. And when I listen to the news and you hear all that bleh, coming out, you know, I'm like, ah, no, shut it off. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to see it. You know, remember that song? You know, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Well, be careful, little mouth, what you speak. We can control that. You know, we don't have to let the world spill its yuck out on us. We don't have to focus our eyes on that. We got to focus our eyes on the Word of God. Now, I don't know if that person who did that is going to go back. I prayed over that person. I don't know if it was probably a young person, I'm guessing. Whoever it was, I prayed. When I got done painting, I prayed for that person, male or female. Now, I'm believing that wall is going to stay nice and clean. But guess what? If they don't obey what God says to them and they go and do that again, guess what? I'll be out there painting again. We don't have to allow this filth of this world infect us or infect our family. Anyway, that's my confession today. I was painting out the graffiti. Oh, Mr. Officer, I should have took a picture of what was on there beforehand. Wow, okay. Anyway. Could you see? Pastor in jail. Oops. I canceled those words. Okay. Oh, my goodness, actually. It's been an interesting week. I was standing up for the police this week too, and I'm just we need our police. Yes. We need our good police. You know, there might be some police out there that maybe need some retraining. And they don't need less money. They need more money to go through training. You know, they should not. We need to defend, not defund, our police officers. We need them. There was a poll. I don't know if you saw the poll last night. It was on Fox News. The numbers were incredible. They're probably on my phone. The percentage of people that want to keep the police. In the white population, in the black population, there was Hispanic. I think there was a section for Hispanic as well. Asian. We all want the police by vast majority. Vast majority. We need our police. Yeah. 80-some percent in the categories. We need our police. So, yeah. But you know what? God says, you know what else he says is what we're deceitful. And perverse, it's when we speak anything that is opposite his word. Anything that's opposite what God says in his word. Anything that is opposite of God's word is warped. It is distorted. It is falsified. It is twisted. And it's not the truth. And so, it could be a fact. There could be a fact that you're dealing with in the natural. And there could be, but it's not the truth. It's not what God says about it. He says, put those negative words, those negative doctor's reports far from your lips. Do not speak them. Do not speak them. He says, attend only to my words. Speak and believe only what I say. Ralph, could you go to John 6:63 and 64? It says this, the words that I speak to you, this is Jesus speaking again, okay? They are spirit and they are life. My words are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe. Jesus said, we need to believe and we need to speak. Right there, he's connecting the two again. Believe in our heart and speak it out of our mouth. But believing the words that we speak, that connects us to the supernatural. And the words that we speak, they got to line up with God's word. That's how you received your salvation, you know. You believe God's word. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he came to pay for your sins. He died on the cross for you, that he for your the forgiveness of your sins. And you believe that God raised him up from the dead, that he raised him up to life. If you accepted Christ, he comes to live inside of you and you get eternal life. That's how you receive salvation. You believed it in your heart and you spoke it out of your mouth. This is how Paul describes it in Romans 10:9-10, Ralph. He says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart, here we go, with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the what? With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. There's the heart, believing, and there's the mouth, the confession that we have to speak. Believe it in your heart, speak it with your mouth. That's how you received salvation. That's exactly how we receive any of the benefits of God, any of the blessings that Jesus already bought and paid for us. It's the same way. That's what the Mullins family needed to learn. They needed to learn. They needed to learn how to make a withdrawal from that, from their spiritual bank account. Your words are powerful. They're powerful. If you believe it in your heart, not just your head, not your head only, if you believe it in your heart and you speak it out of your mouth, that releases the power of God. That releases the anointing for your miracle to manifest. That allows our bodies to line up with the word of God. All too often, I believe the body of Christ is living far below the abundant life that Jesus came to give us, far below. We've been ignorant of of who we are in Christ and the rights and privileges that we have, that he's made available to us. You know, not knowing our identity in Christ, not remembering our identity and who and what we are, that can hold us in bondage. We need to know our identity. You know, my Bible says that we are more than conquerors in Christ. We are more than conquerors. Our spirit board says that we are more than conquerors. My Bible says we are more than conquerors. Those things are released in the physical realm when we believe and speak it. You know, this prescription works on good days, and it works on bad days too. It works when there's some shaking going on. God's way works all the time. We need to cooperate with it, but it does work. We're the ones who have to do the believing and the speaking. We got to cooperate with him. I spoke to someone this last week or the week before. I don't know. The days are kind of full. They're very full. Someone that is dealing with something that, you know, would not be a very good report. But they shared with me that they don't want to do the believing and the speaking. You know, we can't tell God how to do it. We are supposed to submit to him. We're to submit to what he says. We got to do it his way. He's God, we're not. We need to submit to him. When God says in his word that his word is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, that it can divide soul and spirit and joint from marrow, that it's a discerner of the thoughts of our heart. When the word of God says that, that's exactly right. God says that in his word. He wants us to speak his word out of our mouth. When you speak God's word out of your mouth and you're believing it, it's powerful. It is powerful, guys. You got to remember who you are and who's inside of you. Remember your identity. Many of you know this name if I mentioned it. Maybe some of you may not. E.W. Kenyon. And y'all, some of you know that man's name. He's no longer here. He's in heaven. But he was a powerful man of God. He saw many, many miracles. But something that he shared in several of his books that he had written is that for a long time, he said that he had been confused because in his life and in the life of others, he said there was a continual sense of defeat, a sense of failure. And so he prayed for the sick, but he didn't see anything happen. He said he knew the Bible was true, but he wasn't seeing the results that he wanted. And then one day, he said he read this, Pastor Ralph. He read Hebrews 4:14. And this is what it says. It says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession." Let us hold fast to our confession. So he asked himself, what confession am I supposed to hold on to? And he said God gave him revelation that he was to hold fast to the confession that his word, God's word, was the absolute integrity. God's word was true. He was to hold fast to the confession that he was a new creation. He was to hold fast to the confession that surely by Jesus' stripes we're healed. He was to hold fast to the confession of God's word. That's Isaiah 53:4-5. We're not talking here about making a confession of sin. We're talking about confessing God's word, speaking it out of our mouth. We're confessing what Jesus has already done on the cross. we're talking about, you know, confessing our identity in Christ. And Mr. Kenyon said this. He said he found it very difficult to maintain a confession of perfect healing while he had pain in his body. Can you relate to that?
Yes.
Oh, for sure. We all got flesh, right? But he said he made the discovery that he had actually been making two confessions. He's confessing here. He was making two confessions. He said on one hand, he was saying that he believed the absolute truthfulness of God's word, and at the same time, he would complain that pain is still here. That was confessing that he wasn't healed, just the opposite. So he would say, I believe by Jesus' stripes that I'm healed, but in the next breath, he would say, but that pain is still there. And so that second confession nullified the first. He was double-minded. And you know what the Bible says about that? We'll receive nothing. So when he realized what he was doing, he said it became a great battle to gain mastery over his mouth and over his heart. It became a battle. And that was the battle was he was going to continue to fight that battle until the battle of his mouth, the confession of his mouth and the confession of his heart were in agreement, that they came in agreement, that he would have one confession. And so he confessed Romans 10:10, the one we just looked at, he knew to speak. And that word confession in the Greek means to acknowledge. It means to profess. It means to assent. It means to confess. We have to speak it. We have to confess it. We have to speak it. Confession is affirming or assenting to something that we believe. And it is our heart, when we say that, when we speak, it's our heart expressing through our lips what we're believing. If we confess that my God shall supply all my needs, and then we say, oh, I don't have enough money this month to pay the rent, that nullifies that first confession. It's opposite. It's twisted. It's warped. And the anointing will not be released for that. Faith holds fast to the confession of the Word of God. If you're in faith, you'll be holding on to that Word and not being moved off of it. If we accept physical evidence that is opposite God's Word, that will nullify the Word. But if we hold fast to the confession of God's word, even when things look very like they're in a contradiction, God is bound to make it good. He watches over his word to perform it. So Mr. Kenyon said that many believers have failed when things become difficult because they change their confession. When things get hard, they change their confession. He's talking about Christians. He's talking about us. And he said, while the sun is shining, their confessions are strong and clear. But when the storms come, when the testing comes, when the shaking comes, they give up their testimony. He says, we're not to do that. Revelation 12:11 in the Bible says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. We got to be speaking what God says out of our word, out of our mouth. So we overcome by saying the same thing that God says, not just once, not just twice or three times or four times, but we keep saying that over and over again until the thing that we're desiring or believing or what's written in God's word, until we see that thing manifest. I don't know how long it'll take. For the first time for me to receive from God, you know, it took me 11 years. It doesn't have to take 11 years, guys. It don't have to take 11 seconds. But I had so much that I was taught by my previous churches that was wrong. And so I had to pull those. I didn't know they were wrong. I believed them. I had to undo a lot of what was going on in my heart before I could, you know, start speaking the truth and believing it. Once I did, bam. Awesome. This stuff is awesome. It's powerful. That's how we see the things that Jesus has already bought and paid for us manifest in this physical realm. We have a part to play. We have to cooperate with God. You know, if prayer isn't instantly, answered right away, we have to hold fast to our confession of what God says about it. We hold fast to our confession. We don't change our confession. We keep it. Remember, we control this tongue. We have control over that. If Jesus doesn't manifest instant deliverance, if you don't see an instant deliverance, we hold fast to our confession or to our testimony. We don't quit. Ralph, Luke 1:37 says this. This is the American Standard Version. It says, "No word of God shall be void of power." Not one single word in your Bible or my Bible, no single word of the scriptures is void of power. You need power? Speak the word. Speak the word over your situation. E.W. Kenyon said this. He said, "I have learned this law, that when I boldly confess, then and only then do I possess the thing I'm confessing." He said, this is the big area where the church misses it. He said, you know, we know the word, we believe the word, but we fail to speak it. We let symptoms, we let storms, we let shaking get us off of this right here. That's what the enemy wants you to do. He doesn't want you to say the word. Speaking is how we operate in this authority that God has given us. Keeping God's word in our heart and speaking it out of our mouth. That is the good fight of faith. Keeping his word in our heart and in our mouth. That's the good fight of faith, guys. Pastor Ralph, could you bring up the Mullins family picture one more time? The Mullins family, they had to learn how to fight. They were in a battle. They had a choice. They could choose to accept the evil report of the doctors, which were facts, or they could resist it and see the good that God planned for them. They had to learn how to fight the good fight of faith, which we all do. But I like seeing testimonies because I figure, oh, if they could do it, if they could do that, you know, with that little boy's body being loaded with cancer in every one of his bone, I think it could probably help my headache. You know? And so before they could do it, they had to know what belonged to them. They had to know what Jesus already paid for them 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, they had to learn their identity in Christ, and they had to speak it out of their mouth. They had to cooperate with God. You know, our country is in a battle. The battle is between good and evil. And so, you know, we're under attack from within. To win the battle, we have to exercise our authority. And we do that by speaking what God says in his word. We can't win a battle if we don't know, you know, who we are. Because if we don't know who we are, we will cower. We will get into fear. And that'll give the enemy the upper hand over us. But I'm telling you, there's no need to fear, and there's no need to shrink back. God's word is true, even when the whole world is shaking. Even when we're facing the critical election of all time, no need to fear. No need to shrink back. It all has to do with knowing your identity in Christ. A few years ago, I'm going to need some helpers here to hand this out. Barry, Gary, could you come and help these out? A few years ago, we had Rodney Hoag with us. And he's in charge of the deliverance curriculum. We probably have plenty. He's in charge of the deliverance curriculum for Randy Clark's School of Supernatural Ministry. And he blessed us by allowing us to be able to use this the identity statement. I'm going to ask each of you to read it aloud with me. We're going to speak it. We're going to speak our identity out of our mouth. We're going to declare who we are in Christ. Those of you who are listening over the internet or by phone, if you happen to have the identity in Christ, the identity statement that we got from Rodney Ho, you can pull it out and you can speak it along with us. If you don't have it, you're certainly welcome to inform me and I will get one to you. But we want to speak this out aloud together. Are you ready? This is our identity statement. We didn't have this statement last time when I was teaching on our identity. Rodney Hogue came in between and allowed us to use this. It's powerful. You know, I have identity statements in the front of my Bible on little cards that when I needed healing, I was going through my house speaking those things over me. You just got a brand new card here. Mine are all yellowed, but virtually they're saying the same thing. I had a bunch of them. But really, it's just the word of God. We're just saying what God says about us. Are you ready? Are you ready to engage, guys? All right, let's read it. Read it with me. I am a child of the King. I am co-heir with Jesus. All Jesus bought and paid for is my inheritance. I am united with Jesus. I have been crucified with Christ. I died with him. I was buried with him. I was raised with him. I am seated with him in the heavenlies, far above all rule, all authority, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Therefore, I carry the authority of Christ. I have authority over sickness, over sin, over demons, and over the world. I am the salt of the earth. I am the light of the world. I will displace the darkness. I have the full armor of God. I put on the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the helmet of salvation, the sandals of peace. I take up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, for the weapons of my warfare are not fleshly. They are divinely powerful to tear down the strongholds of darkness. I can do all things through Christ, because greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Hallelujah. Do you feel good? That strengthens me every time I read it. That's how we get strengthened, guys. We need to speak what God says about us out of our mouth. You know what? You can add to this. There's a whole bunch more, whole lot more truths that you can add, declarations that you can speak over yourself, whatever your situation is. You know, the Mullins family, they looked up all those scriptures on bones, and they started declaring what God said about those bones, and they saw a miracle. I don't know what y'all are dealing with, but you can. There's a scripture in there to stand on. There's many. You can make up your own identity statement. You can add right on the back. Get more. We speak the word of God out of our mouth. That's how we release the anointing. That's how we release the power of God. That's how we receive all the benefits that God has supplied for us through the cross, through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. This stuff is powerful. Powerful. We're going to close in prayer. So thank you, Heavenly Father. I thank you for your precious word. Father, thank you for revealing to us who we are through your son, Jesus, and through your written word. Help us to grow and to maintain that revelation of who we are so that we can stand in the wake of any storm, demonic attack that would come against us, Lord God, that we could live victoriously in this life, just like you've ordained us to walk in victory in any situation that we might face. We know, Lord, that is your will. With all that you have done for us and in us, we're so grateful. We are your church. Thank you, Lord, for protecting us. Thank you for equipping us and strengthening us to be overcomers in this life. We declare that we overcome by the blood of your Son, Jesus, and by the word of our testimony, and that no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. Yes, weapons do form, but they will not prosper. They shall not prosper. The gates of hell shall not prevail against your church. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This nation is not going back or under. I declare this nation, I declare along with your prophets that this nation is going up and forward according to your plan. Thank you, Father. You bring the church into alignment with your plan. And let our confession be one with you. Let our hearts believe in one with you and with your word. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. May you continue to bless this great nation of ours. We thank you for your protection over our president, over our vice president, over their families, over the leadership of this country, Lord God. We declare that. We ask you to release, Lord, your ministering spirits, Lord, your warrior angels over this land. That's us. He's talking about us too. We're part of that army. Release your army, your warriors, Lord, across this land. Bring them out of the bunkers. We come against fear. That stronghold of fear, we curse and command it to die and leave this nation. Leave the church, Father God. I thank you for boldness rising up in every one of your children. Separate the truth from all the lies, Lord God. We exalt your word in this church, in this nation, and we do it unapologetically. We thank you, Jesus, that you live in us, that you strengthen us. We have all of the Godhead inside of us. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You lack nothing, church, nothing. And Father, we just thank and give you praise. Thank you. We love you, Lord. We exalt you. We honor you in this house. We thank you for raising up your army. And we thank you for the victory. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Awesome.